Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of your 1 hour inspirational programming. I'm your host and facilitator, Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a powerful one for you tonight. If you thought last night's show was interesting, tonight is going to be heavy, heavy hitting. And we're going to bring God into our programming tonight, as we always do. Father in heaven, we thank you for the multitude of blessings that you give us every day. Even those blessings that we take for granted, Lord, and we appreciate your love. We adore you, we praise you, we honor you, we worship you. These and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen, amen. Let's go ahead and welcome from all the way around the world our international man of the hour, the Honorable Pastor Castile Rowe. Pastor Rowe, it's always a pleasure and honor, sir, to have you on board with us. Welcome.
Good evening, everyone, and it's great to be on the show, and I'm just, you know, have a spirit of expectation of the excitement of the topic that we're going to be talking about this evening. But I know in all that is done that we'll be blessed and we'll learn from the word and the experiences that God is allowing us to have and to receive. Thank you very much, Dr. Walker.
Awesome. We're so glad to have you. Go ahead also and welcome at this time and bring on board the world-famous Darren Deedy from South Florida. Darren Deedy, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's a pleasure to have you as well. Darren Deedy? Okay, perhaps
hello,
you'll come on.
Sorry. I'm here.
That's okay.
I was on mute. I apologize. Hello, everybody.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. And I'm actually calling in from Orlando today.
Oh, excellent. We're glad to have you in Orlando. We're glad that you're there. All right, tonight's topic we're talking about is why hasn't God sent me the right companion? His spiritual alignment, part one. This is only part one of a two-part series. And if you all want to speak to the issue tonight, and we want Ms. Marjorie Cross to tune in, because we're going to give her that opportunity to make a commercial break tonight. So when she presses one, we'll get to her in just a moment. Pastor Will, I want to begin with you. Some people cry out, you know, I've been praying for a man for 4 years, for 5 years, and still the man hasn't come, or the woman hasn't come. Pastor, what's going on? Isn't God still in the answering business to prayers?
Well, Dr. Walker, a powerful thing that you have said, and I stick on it, and you said it, and through Christ, and I believe it, and that settles it. But you have not because you ask not, and you say it. The ABCs of prayer, all right? You said that, and it is true. Maybe because the person haven't asked, okay? You might ask, but you don't believe and you don't claim it. But there's three elements to that. You have to ask, believe, and claim it, and God will give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because you say, ask, and it shall be given, seek, and you would find, and knock, and the doors would be open, you know. And so if we're not getting our prayers, you know, God is a sovereign God. And as you, you know, you was talking about on last evening, he has his permissive will. You know, sometimes God don't give us what we need right then because, you know, I mean, if you got been in an abusive relationship with past people in your life, you know, maybe you got to have time. You don't want to jump out of the frying pan back into the fire, and your nature and your character hasn't changed, you know. So I just want to say maybe God is haven't given you the person because he wants you to the time to get yourself together, for lack of a better way of saying it. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Okay, we're certainly going to ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead at this time and welcome Ms. Marjorie Cross to tonight's broadcast. Ms. Cross, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to give you an opportunity, but before you give your commercial break, why don't you tell us your opinion? Because sometimes people feel that I've asked and I've claimed the promise and I believe, but it hasn't happened. Ms. Cross, what, in your opinion, what happens?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question? I just got on.
We're going to ask you to stand by, Ms. Cross. We're going to ask you to stand by. Darren Deedy, I want to come to you now, and I want to ask, you know, sometimes people are praying, and they feel that they've done the ABCs, but still it hasn't happened. So what happens now in a case like that? What happens, Darren Deedy?
Well, I believe you have to wait. You can ask, but in due time, he'll answer. It could be a day. It could be a year. It could be 10 years. You have to wait on his timing.
That is so interesting, to wait on his timing. Pastor, let me bring you back in here. Is it really about waiting on God's timing? Is it really that?
Well, I wholeheartedly agree with what my sister just said because, you know, the word of God says, they that wait upon the Lord, he will renew their strength. They will run and not be weary. It will walk and not faint. That word is powerful, wait. You know, all the days of my appointed time, I'm going to what? Wait until my change come. I believe it was the Job or someone said that I'm going to wait until my change comes. But patience is a virtue. And, you know, we have to have the spirit of pertinacity and endurance. So I love what my sister just said before me. She used the key word wait. That's very important. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
All right. Certainly. We're going to certainly stand by. Let's see if Ms. Cross is ready now. Ms. Cross, are you there? Ms. Cross? All right, perhaps she's not there again. Let's go. Darren Deedy, we're looking at it now. Why hasn't God sent me the right companion? So what we look at sometimes now is how do we know? Oftentimes, okay, we're going to have various scenarios. And let's go with one of these scenarios where the woman had been praying for 2 years. She'd been praying for 2 years for the man. She's been holding herself out and just having faith that God was going to send her a man. Then all of a sudden, a new man comes to the church, and she just figures that's the man that God has sent me. She's an attractive woman. She gets with this man, and all of a sudden now, as time progresses, they become a couple. But then, you know, he's there on special assignment for 3 months. And then he tells her, I got to leave, so, you know, you're not going to be able to, I'm sorry, we're going to have to break it off. Come to find out that the man is married. But she was really involved with this man. So, Darren Deedy, in a situation like that, she thought God sent her that man, but the man was married. He was just attending the church for the 3 months that he was there. And these are all true stories. What happened? What happened? Now she's heartbroken.
I think that was just her making her own free will, as we talked in previous discussions. I really don't think that he was her answer. He may have been a friend that came into her life, but to take it any further than that without knowing him behind the scenes would have been a whole different view for her.
I see. Okay, Pastor Roll, let me bring it over here to you. I mean, here it is. This woman is waiting. She's waited, held herself out. Now she's involved with this man for 3 months. Then he just packs up and he heads out. You know, and turns out he's like, I got to break it off with you because, I wanted to tell you, I didn't want to break your heart. But now he slept with her and everything. And now it's like, I'm married. And, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to break your heart. Pastor, did he mean to break her heart?
Well, I think he did because he knew that he was married. And, I haven't always been saved, you know, and I understand how people think, you know, the one-night stands and all of this and manipulations and so on and so forth. But the thing we have to do, we have to ask God, Lord, is this the one? You know, and if you listen to God and hear what he's saying, he will let you know, you know. And it's good when you get involved in the relationships, you know, to communicate with one another and to find out, you know, people's experiences before you, you know, we understand scripture and what the words say, you know, about holiness, you know, so on and so forth. I won't go into the details of that, but I think what she didn't do, she waited for the first thing that came by, and she didn't wait and ask God, Lord, is this the person? That's my thoughts on that, Dr. Walker.
Yeah, certainly. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's give Ms. Cross one more chance and see if she's there. Ms. Cross, we're trying to get you. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Dr. Walker.
Okay, how you doing, Ms. Cross? Thank you.
Ms. Cross. Good. Good evening, Dr. Walker, and good evening to everyone and to Pastor Roll.
Okay, great. So, Ms. Cross, let me just ask you here. I mean, we're talking about why hasn't God sent me the right person? Was God silly? Is that his call to send someone to you? Or isn't there something we have to do on our end as well?
Yes, Dr. Walker. I think they said God help those who help themselves. So first, you have to go out there and look. And then, you know, and then, as I said, God will send you somebody. But some people that I found out, like, they'll say, I'm looking for a husband. And God will send him to me. But some of them think the man is going to drop in their lap. But you got to do something about it. You got to look also and then leave the rest in, put the rest in God's hands.
All right, but Ms. Marjorie, the Bible doesn't tell the woman to look. It doesn't. It says the man who findeth, the man who findeth. So it's inferred or implied that the man is the one who's looking. It's up to the woman to accept. So, you know, so how be it then that the woman is supposed to align herself with the will of God for the man to find her? Help me with that.
Yes, yeah, because it works both ways, though. You know, sometimes you don't have to look, and you could pray about it, and God will send you somebody. But, you know, when it comes to the man, it works both ways. You know, the woman could look, the man could look. But it says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. You know, so I do believe that God, but you still have to do some work. Don't just leave everything on God.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Cross, go ahead and give us your commercial break quickly, please. We're running out of time already.
Okay. Okay, everyone. My name is Marjorie Allen Cross. I'm a nurse and a health and wellness consultant with two outstanding companies. And we have many health products, over 150 health products that may be able to help you with any health conditions. We have like collagen and other products. You could reach me at 786-319. Again, my number is 786-319-7223. Or you could visit my website at betteryourself.info. Again, betteryourself.info. Thank you, Dr. Walker.
All right, certainly. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to Dee in Georgia. Dee, thank you for taking time out to be with us this evening. Dee, I mean, I'm just thinking over here that people are praying and asking God, why hasn't God, they're asking the question, why hasn't God sent me the right companion? Well, we've got free will, Dee. We have free will. So with that free will, the exercise of our free will, isn't it up to us whether or not that's who we want to be with or not?
It is. That is too. As you said, he that findeth, but she has to be available, and not only available, but learn to recognize her spirit and be obedient. That's where our choice should come in after listening. We've got to listen after we ask. There are times I do believe that people can go on their own free will, and it can work out. But prayer has to still be included, but obedient to our spirit, I think, is the key.
All right. So, Dee, while I've got you here, here's another scenario. The woman was praying for a man, and we got scenarios going both ways tonight, man and woman. Woman was praying for a man, and she prayed just for a man. Lord, send me the man that you would have me to have. Not my will, God, but your will be done. So here she's 5'8", and the man that comes to her is 5'4". And she's like, oh, you know, he's a nice guy, but I was looking for a man 6'1". So, Dee, what happens in a case like that? But this guy treats her like a princess or a queen. What happens? Should she give him up to wait for the 6'1" guy?
That's a hard call, but, you know, it's possible. I mean, if you're not specific, God has a sense of humor, I do believe. But you need to be specific and, you know, to say wait. But I think that could still work out. But I also believe that you can get what you ask for.
You can get what you ask for. So God knows. Okay, here we go with this now, Dee. Stay with me for a second. God knows the desires of your heart even before you ask. So why would God try you like that? Let me just ask you. Why would he try you like that to send you a 5'4 guy? And I'm not criticizing anybody for their height. No, I'm not doing that. But if you wanted a 6'1 and you didn't specifically ask for that, then would God try you like that and send you a 5'4 just because he has a sense of humor? Would he do that really, Dee?
Like you said, you know, we have free will. And to think that he sent us, you know, it's, why would we think that he sent that to us when there's a lot of men available for women, a lot of women available for men? It just depends on how we received it.
All right. We're certainly going to ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and welcome Sir Benny to tonight's broadcast. Sir Benny, thank you for joining us. Nice to have you with us. Welcome.
Good evening and happy Friday. Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
All right. Thank you, sir. Sir Ben, while I've got you here, why hasn't God sent me the right companion? So, I mean, here it is. Here's scenario. We got scenario after scenario. Now, this man has been praying that he can, you know, he doesn't have a wife now. He's had two wives. And, you know, he has free will. And it just wasn't working out. So he divorced them. And now it's been 3 years, and he's praying, God, I'm dating women out here, but they just don't stand up to the bar, my standards. So, God, I mean, send me the right companion. What do you think, Sir Ben? Could it be him? Could the problem be him?
Well, yeah, the problem is him, because he has an expectation for what he wants. And his expectation for what he wants is a woman, but not a wife. There's a difference between having a woman and having a wife. A wife is designed to fill in the needs that you need and the wants that you desire. But a woman is just there to accommodate wherever you are. And so one thing is not predicated to the other. We say we want this, but we're asking for that. We're asking for an apple, but we're really describing an orange. So, yeah, it is him. And he's, you know, we say we want to be specific to what we tell God. And there's nothing wrong with that. But remember, God wants to give you what you need, because what you want may not be long-term. It just may be temporary. And sometimes we do ask for seasonal people. And that's why he keeps getting divorced, because once he gets to the end of the season, there's nothing else left.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by, Sir Ben. First of all, I want to go in here, because Sir Ben has said something very interesting. He said this man is asking perhaps for a woman, but he's not asking for a wife. But, Pastor Rowe, in Greek and in Hebrew, the word woman means wife. That's what it means. The word woman means wife. So now, Pastor Rowe, I mean, it's like all I do is research out here. And the word wife means woman. He that findeth a woman findeth a good thing. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So now, Pastor Rowe, what is it that we got to be praying for? I mean, the specifics. Help me out with this.
Well, I think my brother Ben, I think he hit the nail on the head. You know, you were listening sharply to what he said. But I'll say this. You know, there's a scripture. You know, whatever our needs are, God will give it to us. God will supply all our needs. But then the word comes here, according. See, according, that's the key word, to his riches and glory. And we're, in other words, I understand that it means that God is going to give you what he feels is best for you. Because everything that we ask for is not the best, but that key word is according. And God is so awesome and so great, he's going to give us what we need, and not so much what we want. I know the Bible says the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, you know. But God will give us what we need when all is said and done and the dust settles. He doesn't make
all right, we're
going to
ask you. Go ahead, Bethel. Mm-hmm. Finish the thought,
that's it. He knows what's best for us.
All right. Having said that, he knows what's best for us. Tonight we're talking about, why hasn't God sent me the right companion? Is it really what God's going to do is to send us somebody? You know, Darren D, I want to bring you in here because he said in his word, you know, I have given you everything. I have given you everything. So wouldn't that infer or suggest or imply that everything that we need is right here? Pastor Rose just said he will supply all our needs. So it's already here. So the question becomes, what are we waiting for? What are we looking for? What are we being more patient for? It's already here. So Darren Deedy, so if this man is looking for this woman to be his wife, the choice is up to him. Doesn't that make sense? Because God has already supplied all of his needs.
I agree with that, absolutely. you kind of left me speechless because it's kind of like a triple sword of this question. But he gives you all that he needs, and as you seek him and the door opens, he should give you peace within to know how to follow your heart and not, you know, and think with your mind, not just, you know, feelings.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Why hasn't God sent me the right thing? He's saying to us, I gave you, you know, I mean, if I could just, I can't even imagine being God, but if I would be like, you know, these humans, you know, you got to constantly walk them through baby steps. I've given them everything they need. I already told them that. I've given you everything that you need, even the leaves for the healing of the nations. And yet they're still, like, it's almost like it's doubting me. It's like you're doubting God. Dee, I want to bring you back in here, and then Sir Ben, I want to come to you as well. So, Dee, it's like you're doubting me. I've already told you this. So what are you doing? Dee, what are you doing? You keep praying for the same redundant thing. I've already done this thing for you. Dee, help me with that.
I always think it goes back to following your spirit, because that's what he gave us the gift for. And that, you know, who leads us to where we're going. And when we ask him, I think that's on our part to do that. Because as he promised us, you know, what ask, seek, and knock, even though it's the man seek him, but those are instructions for us to do what we need to do. Our spirit is to follow us. And
okay,
we have to be in tune with it.
All right, and that's what we're talking. Are you saying that we have to be in alignment with his will? And that's what we're talking about, his spiritual alignment, part one tonight. Is that what you're
right.
telling us?
Yes.
All right. Sir Ben, let's go to, we're going to ask you to stand by. Dee from Georgia, we're going to go to Sir Ben. Sir Ben here. All right, Sir Ben, that woman earlier that we spoke about in the church that prayed for 2 years for the man to come, and the man came through there, new man. And she thought that was certainly the man that God sent her. She had a relationship with this man for 3 months, and then he tells her, I got to go. He was only there on a work assignment. And then 3 months were up, and he had to go home. He told her, I got to break off with you. I didn't mean to break your heart, but I'm married with 14 children. Sir Ben, now she's disappointed, brokenhearted. You know, I mean, she thought that that was the man that God sent her. Sir Ben, how do you explain that?
Well, I'm going to say this, and I say this with all due respect to everybody who's listening. We should not lean to our own understanding. That is a foolish way to proceed. What she was praying for and what she was listening to didn't line up. You talked about aligning ourselves with God. We could be praying for, you could pray for whatever you want. But if you're not listening to God and God is talking to you, he's always talking to us in that small, still voice. He tells us everything we need to know. He tells us, nope, that's not for you. But because I've been praying, and I want this. And sometimes in our own selfish desires to be foolish, and I don't mean that to be in a negative way. When I say foolish, I'm referring to the fact of leaning to our own understanding, which is foolish to God. We will misstep, misread things, and proceed full throttle ahead into a mess. And so when we hit the wall and we finally come to our senses and say, hey, that's not what I was talking about. And then you know what the next step is? Now we want to blame God. Oh, see, God, look what you put me in. God would never put you in a mess. He tries to direct you into the right path, but we mess up because we're not listening. That's why she had a short season, a married man with children, and a great big disappointment.
All right. Excellent point. We're certainly missing Pastor Lorenzo on tonight's broadcast. I thought he would be here, but apparently he's not with us this evening. You still got time, you all. We still got another half hour to go. You can reach out to your friends and family members and tell them that we've got a live one here tonight that they will really want to tune in. So now here we go. We're saying that God has given us everything. So, Pastor Rowe, should we continue praying for the same thing? And then I want to give you all a scenario about a pastor and his wife. Pastor Rowe.
Dr. Walker, you know, I believe, you know, we have to be persistent. You know, persistency, you keep praying until God gives us the desires of our heart. But I did want to say, you know, God can send us something, but we don't receive it, whether it's somebody 3 feet tall or 1,000 feet tall, you know, whatever. I'm just being inappropriately witty, you know. But think about this. God didn't send Gabriel. He didn't send some of the other archangels. But for God so loved the world that he sent his only, what, begotten son. We know that, okay. But he came unto his own. His own didn't even receive him. So, you know, but to them that have received him, to them gave he power, you know. So God can send us something, but we won't receive it, you know. And, you know, we know the perfect example of that, you know. So we have to receive what God, you know, gives to us.
All right.
And recognize it when it comes.
So we have to receive what God's given us and recognize it when it comes. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Pastor Lorenzo, thank you for joining us.
Dr. Walker, give me about 2 minutes because I got somebody knocking on the doors and I got to go open it.
All right, certainly. We'll put you on hold. And Pastor Lorenzo, we're going to bring you in here and welcome to tonight's broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, sir. I'm late, but I'm here.
Oh, we're glad that you're here. We got a live one here tonight, and I'm trying to make some sense out of some of this. I mean, God has given us everything, and now we're hearing that Pastor Rowe is saying that we have to be persistent with God. You know, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. So I'm going to throw it out here to you all. I mean, you talk about being – let me go with Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy. I mean, you're going to – God, who's omniscient, that means he's all-knowing. Now you think that you're going to influence God by being persistent with him? God, you know, God, I need this brand-new Lamborghini car. God, please, I need this Lamborghini car. I need this brand-new. I mean, we're talking about an $80,000-plus vehicle. You know, I need it, and then it's like, God, I'm working at the fast food place. I'm making about $24,000 a year. I need this car. I'm going to be persistent. I'm going to, like, push, the operation push. And people say pray until something happens. So, God, I'm going to keep praying until you give me the desires of my heart. So, Darren Deedy, one of the guys in the Bible did that. He kept praying and wrestling with the angel of God and then asking for more time when his time was up. And those were the worst 15 years of his life. Do we really think that we can influence God? Darren Deedy, talk to me, please. Be persistent with God.
I think you can not necessarily influence, shall I say, but seek him and seek his word, and he will provide and with all you need, like we said earlier. But, again, we have that free will and that kind of the ego in our head that takes charge most of the time. So if we can just live in the moment and listen to God and pray to God, he will lead you.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here. Is it a matter of trying to persuade or influence God, or is it, Sir Ben, is it that God has already given us what we need before we even ask? So can we influence or persuade, or, in, you know, when he's already giving you what you need before you even ask?
So if you just examine that question that you just presented, if he's already given us all that we need, that means that everything that we have a desire for, a want for, is already in us, which means that we have to have some knowledge of what it is. And
yes.
So going forward from that point, when we don't exercise that which has been given to us, then we run into problems and situations that we think, well, you know, I thought God was going to answer my prayers. No, he did answer your prayers. He gave you everything you need. But then there's something that we also must do, which a lot of times we fail to do. It says, in all things, get wisdom. Because once you get wisdom about things, the other things will follow, knowledge, understanding. All that stuff follows with wisdom. And when you're not exercising that gifting of wisdom, then you're operating outside of the will of God, because he says, ask.
Yes. You know, and see, the thing is, and Sir Ben, you're right on point, you know, because he talks about that, and you know, and he talks about it, and he mentions this in Scripture. You know, he talks about this very thing, about that, and he talks about it in Proverbs. Wisdom is the principal thing he talks about. He said, get wisdom, and you're right, you know, and then he says, and with that, he wants us to get what, Sir Ben, under what? He wants us to get understanding. Exactly. You know, going to that, it's just like with Solomon. He asked Solomon. God came to Solomon in a dream, and he asked Solomon, what would you have me do for you? What is it that you want? And Solomon was now, he had taken the kingdom, because Bathsheba now, it was to another son, David's other son. But Bathsheba didn't want that son to have it. She wanted Solomon to have it. So then Solomon got it. The other boy was the king. But they dethroned him, and Solomon became the king. Because he didn't want to do it, because this was his brother. His brother, his older brother, had the kingdom. And then Bathsheba didn't want that one to have it. She wanted Solomon to have it. And so Solomon got it. And so now, in a dream, God came to him because God liked him, because he walked with God. God found favor with him because of his father David. And so now he said to Solomon, what would you have? And God, Solomon wanted understanding to be able to judge the people. That's what he asked for. And God said, because you didn't ask for the destruction of your enemies, you didn't ask for riches and all of that other stuff, I'm going to make you the wisest man that ever lived already, and there will be none like you that were before you, and none will be like you after you. And he says, because you didn't ask for these other things, I'm going to give you all of that. You see, all of those things. So, Sir Ben, I wanted to stay with you for a second. God gave him even more than what he asked for. So, Sir Ben, the question becomes, why are we still feeling like we got to be so specific when God already knows and he's willing to bless us beyond which he already has? Help me with that, Sir Ben.
Because we fail to understand God's way of doing things. God says, I will always give you more than what I've asked. Whenever God blesses us, he don't just bless us with, you know, Lord, my light bill is $100, he don't just give you $100. He gives you $200, sometimes $300, because he never just gives us what we ask for. He gives us in abundance and excess. So if we're asking for, Lord, you know, I'm being faithful, I'm sticking to you, and I just want me a wife, not only will he give you a wife, he will give you a long-lasting, forever fruitful wife to be a blessing to you. Not just a woman, but a wife who's operating in the fullness for what he has in store for you. And that's the wisdom and understanding of what God is. He fastens us to give us greater and better. I don't know a father alive that loves his family, his children, that just gives them just what they want. No, we always want to give them better. We want to give them more love, more attention, more affection, more understanding, more teaching, more learning, and over and over and over, these are the fruits that God has given us, and he's given us those fruits in abundance.
All right. Sir Ben, that is very well stated, very well stated. Thank you for that. We're going to ask you to stand by. Demon Slayer, I want to bring you in here, Demon Slayer, because it's like, I mean, I'm just thinking here and how Sir Ben so eloquently put it out here. He wants to give us more because he said in his word, I come that you have life and that you not only have life, but you have it in abundance, more abundantly. That's what he talks about, abundant life. So, Demon Slayer, I want to ask you the question here. Why are we so depressed and oppressed and just frustrated and sad and miserable and lonely, and especially the people who are going to church regularly all the time and saying, praise the Lord is good all the time, and all the time God is good. But then during the week, it's like they're so depressed, child. I don't know where I'm going to get the next dollar to feed these kids. So help me with that, Pastor Lorenzo. What's happening?
I guess it's you go through life, you go through a lot of things. So when you ask God for something, then you don't receive it. And then you can turn around and you can see people that don't even pray, don't do nothing, and you see that they got nice cars, a lot of money, and stuff like that. I think they have a lot to do with it too. And then you say, I'm praying, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and God's not blessing me, he's praying. He don't even pray. He don't even go to church. And he you know, he fulfills things like so. You have to tap into God. When it's time for you to be blessed, you're going to be blessed. So, you know, when it's your time, it's your time. He reigns on the just and on the just. So, you know, you just got to wait your turn and trust God.
You know, that's very well stated, Demon Slayer. That is very well stated because that is the key. You know, he says, the sun shines on the just and the unjust. So I'm just thinking here, as you're saying this here, and Darren Deedy, I want to come to you now, and then Dee, I'm going to come to you as well. Darren Deedy, if this is the case, right, if the sun shines, as he said it, on the just and the unjust, what about, and then Demon Slayer was saying how the people who don't even believe in God, they're blessed and so forth and so on. And even David talked about that. He said, you know, I'm young and I've been old. He said, I was young and I'm old, but never have I seen the righteous begging bread, nor the seed begging bread. He's never seen them go through it like that. So now the question there indeed becomes, you know, if God is already done these things, imagine the people that don't even believe in him, if they're blessed because his blessings comes to all of us, imagine the ones who believe in him. Don't you think, and I'm just asking the question here, that there could be a little favor coming? Because imagine, you got two sons. They might be twins, right? Twins, identical twins. One seems to be really good, and the other one seems to have some behavior issues, we'll put it like that. So, Darren Deedy, are you going to lean towards the one with the behavior issues, or are you going to favor kind of the one that's kind of good? Isn't that the one you're going to be bragging about the most to your friends? Help me, Darren Deedy.
Well, I like the way you're thinking, too. That's a tough question because, there's those who believe and those who don't believe, and those who are bad or are so extra blessed, and those who follow and pray and they ask and they still haven't received. It's a good question, but I think it's all within our mind. It's a magnetic thing, you know. Positive energy, you know, attracts positive energy. So it may not be, they may not be like a good person if you're not following God, but there's, it doesn't make them a bad person either. It's just, I'm probably not making any sense now, but there's good and bad in all, and he loves each and every one of us, even for the flawed ones as well as the perfect.
All right.
So.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Dee from Georgia, I want to bring you in here. Dee, and kind of the same question. You got twins, identical twins. One is just off the chain. I mean, this child is so bad that you wonder, he must have taken after his father, you say, because your side of the family don't act like that. But the other twin is just like an angel. So now, are you telling your friends about that child who is like his father, you know, that you don't know, you got him mixed up? If it weren't the fact that they were identical, you would say for certain, that's not my child. Or are you going to be boasting about the one who's pretty good? Which is it?
Well, actually, in the conversation going in that direction, and how I say them knowing me, it's like the honey extracting. You still have to treat both of them the same, and that would be part of that conversation. But I think it's just, as they say, when you see people who don't believe in God and stuff still comes to them, I think it is not his. And for whatever reason, I mean, nobody is thinking alike, and that very well could be the one thing that God does for them that turns them to him. But it's we're supposed to be like him as far as treating everybody the same. A lot of times it's harder than easier said than done. But again, it goes in trying to follow his will, whether it's in relationship with another adult, a relationship with friends, with whoever. We still have to make the right decision.
All right. Dee, we're going to ask you to stand by. Somebody, I need some help with this particular scenario here, you all. And I appreciate what you all have contributed. But I'm just thinking, I got kids. And my kids were not treated the same by me. I mean, yes, as far as basic principles and foundational things were. And I don't see that I was a bad parent at all because they're all successful. But it's like they had different needs. So, Pastor Roll, I want to bring you in here just quickly for me, please, because we're running out of time. So, Pastor Roll, you got these twins, and one of them is just out of control. That will probably be the one that turned out to be the preacher, yes. But his needs are different than the one who's already good, because you're going to bring up the scenario about the prodigal son. So go ahead, Pastor Roll.
Okay, what comes to my mind is Esau and Jacob, you know.
Right, exactly.
In the Word of God, it says, for Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, you know.
He certainly did say that.
It has to do with your attitude and spirit, because if my memory serves me correctly, Jacob, you know, brought the best that he had, you know, to the Lord. But Esau, you know the story without me going into the details and particulars, you know. But why did he say, for Jacob have I loved and Esau? God knows the inmost part. He knows our attitude. You know, Jacob gave the best that he had. And so God is sovereign. He blesses whom he want to bless, and he curses who he want to curse. That's the scripture. Back to you, Dr. Walker. That's my thoughts.
Okay, and he also said, and even to this day in 2023, that country where Jacob and Esau, God said that it will always be miserable over there, and I'm paraphrasing there, because even to this day, when God speaks it, it happens, you all. I'm telling you.
Right.
If he told you already got everything out there, I've sent it already. What are we doing? I want to go now to Marjorie Cross. Ms. Cross, I want to bring you in here because now we're talking about, and I'm going to go to several others of you all, and it says that this pastor and his wife divorced after 18 years of marriage. They divorced. The pastor divorced his wife. And the wife said, you know, she, you know, they were in Florida. Florida's a no-fault state. You don't have to have a reason to divorce. You just want a divorce. Excuse me, you get a divorce. So now here it goes. The woman felt, she prayed for years. 15 years later, she's still praying for her husband, the pastor, to come back to her. He's moved on with his life. It wasn't known whether he had taken another wife or not. But he didn't want that wife. And she's praying. And one day the word got back to him that she's praying by one of the members. She's been praying for 15 years that, oh, Lord, send my husband back. And then he sent her a message through that same party. God has given me free will. She can pray all she wants, but God will not interfere with our free will. This is what the pastor said. Give her that message. So now my question becomes, Miss Marjorie, why was she praying all those 15 years when the man had free will? What was she doing? Maybe Miss Marjorie's not there. Let me go to Sir Ben. Sir Ben, let's bring you in here. I don't understand what's going on with her phone tonight, you all. But, Sir Ben, let's bring you in here. And, Sir Ben, that same scenario.
No, pick that
same scenario. He's prayed for 15 years after 18 years of marriage. He's undivorced her. He wants to exercise his free will. Now she's praying. He sends that message. I don't tell her she can pray all she wants. God will not infringe upon my own free will, and my free will is I don't want her anymore. So, Sir Ben, what is the wife still doing? She's trying to persist God with God? She's trying to be persistent? Or is she trying to influence God? She's trying to persuade God? What is she doing? Or getting on God's nerves? What is it, Sir Ben?
Well, I'm going to give you just a small scenario of that of a true Christian person, man or woman, whatever it may be. When we pray, we should pray with expectation. That means that what we're praying for, we should believe that God's going to answer our prayers. Now, in that, there's a lot that we should do also. There's some fasting we should be doing. There's some meditation. There should be a lot of surrendering. We should be doing so many things to prepare us for the blessings that we ask for. Most of us just want to pray and expect a miracle. No, 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 no. Praying is powerful. But then he says, hey, in order for me to really do what you're asking me to do, I need a sacrifice from you. We used to sacrifice animals for the atonement of our sins. Now we can sacrifice the flesh, the fleshiness of us. Yes, Lord, I'm going to sacrifice my own thoughts, my own desires. I'm going to say, let your will be done, not mine. I'm praying about a situation. But once I pray about it, I'm supposed to leave it with you. And at that point, I need to tell God to start working on me to get me in alignment for whatever it is that I'm praying for. Because a lot of times we're not in the right position, posture, or mindset to receive the blessings that we're asking for. And so why would God give us a blessing when we ain't ready to do it? All we're going to do is end up messing up again and being back in the same situation, which is why we see a lot of redundancy. I'm going to say this in short. There are a lot of people that don't profess to say that they love God, but their heart, they have a heart like God, which means God can bless them because he knows how they're going to operate with it. He knows they're going to be kind and giving, and they're going to share, and they're going to do things. That's why we see some people who are not calling themselves church people who are so blessed because their heart. God looks at your heart, not what your condition or what you call yourself, Mr. Sir, Mr. Christian. No, 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 no. He says, I need those who have clean hearts to do the will for me.
That's a very interesting point. Very, very interesting point. Someone's out there itching right now to press 1 on their dial, and I already feel you over all the way over here, and you want to chime in. We're going to give you that opportunity to chime in, to give your thoughts on that. You know, this is amazing because you want to, it's itching in your heart to say something. And you, because you want to touch one on your dial And we will go ahead and give you that opportunity. We're going to go ahead now. We're going to bring Susan in. Susan, we're going to bring you in. And I just want to say to you all, it's like, why hasn't God sent me the right companion? And many of you all already know the story about the, you know, the story about the person that was on the rooftop and trying to be saved from a flood while we're waiting on Suzanne to come in on the flood. And you know that story. And so what happened was, the person says, well, God, why you never sent me anybody? And he sent three people already, but they said that they were still waiting. And see, God doesn't, he operates before you even call. God has already answered. It's just like, I know that this person had something that they wanted to say. And, you know, and God will put it into our hearts. He will put it into our spirits. Suzanne, we're going to bring you on the air now live. Suzanne, what has God impressed upon your heart to say why he hasn't sent some people the right companion? Go ahead, Suzanne.
Okay, I'm sorry. Repeat that. I'm in the store.
Okay, yeah. Why hasn't God sent the right companion to people who are desperately out there to get that companion?
Well, my opinion, I think we're looking in the wrong places, and we want something that we really may not even deserve.
Wow. All right. Suzanne, we're going to thank you for that. We're going to ask you to stand by. I mean, wow. You know, I've heard people say that, and I want to go up here to Demon Slayer. You know, are we trying to justify God by saying, I don't deserve what he's blessing me with? You know, you get what you deserve in life. Demon Slayer, is that really how it goes? That you're going to live in poverty for the rest of your life because you don't deserve to have this or that? Demon Slayer, talk to me about that, please.
Sometimes you go through life and you don't get everything you want. You know, like some people always say that. Say you're not blessed, and you're looking at the point of having money to be blessed. Maybe you need to look at it from another perception. Maybe right. That you have a nice family, you got a roof over your head, you got food to eat, and you got all the things that you need, and you're already blessed. So that's the way I look at it.
You know, Demon Slayer, you often say things that are really, really interesting and enlightening. Because what you just said now, you know, sometimes people measure success by money and blessings by money. I grew up in the projects, and, I mean, we hardly had anything. We got what they call welfare food. And, I mean, it was so poor. But you know what we had? We had so much love. Even in the whole neighborhood, everybody who lived in the project, we were bonded. We were friends because everybody had the same. We got welfare food. My neighbors got welfare food. And everybody knew when you get this big old can of peanut butter, don't put it in the refrigerator like my sister used to do because she was just so neat. She got to put the and you only get it once a month. And now we're trying to get peanut butter and jelly. That was like one of the highlights of our meals when we even took sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly, to school, or a bologna sandwich because that's what my mother could afford. And now you got the peanut butter in the refrigerator, and, oh, my goodness, nine of us, we're fussing at this young lady, my sister, for putting the peanut butter, because we know who did it. She didn't mean to do it. She just was cleaning up. And she would always put the peanut butter, and now we got to wait another month to get peanut butter. But I'll tell you what, you talk about, Pastor Lorenzo, about maybe, you know, we're not measuring it by money. But let me tell you something, that love made it, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to have it any other way because that love was the foundation. That was the most important thing to have had, was that foundation of love that our mother gave us. And then, you know, we looked, yes, I had one pair of shoes to wear for the whole year and even had a hole in those shoes and the sole of those tennis shoes. And what, because I knew my mom couldn't afford it, I put cardboard in the bottom and wore those shoes every day for the whole school year. And so, but it was like, you know what, when I'm walking, it's like God just cushioned everything. I didn't even know I was walking on cardboard with a hole in my shoes. And let me tell you something, it was so, it was just like, oh, so brilliant. I couldn't wait. My friends, and if people talked about us, and we didn't wear uniforms at that time in school, and if people talked about one of us, well, the whole neighborhood went to the school. And so we stood together in solidarity. We stood together. We walked to school together, and we walked home together. And it was a diversified community. All of us were poor. We had that in common. But you couldn't tell us that we were poor because we were rich with love. So, Pastor Lorenzo, as you're saying, sometimes people don't realize because God gave us everything. And you know what? I think I'm a better person today because of that love, the foundation of love that we had. We played together. We argued together. But we came back and we played together. We were forgiving. And we had one rule in that community that really kept us peaceful. And Pastor Roland, I want to bring you in here because you know what that one rule was? Nobody, none of the boys in that community could date anybody's sister. That was a rule. That was the worst rule that we could have ever come up with. But we kept that as a rule because a lot of them girls were pretty, you know, and fine, as we say, right? But we had a rule. We had a rule that you cannot date somebody's sister, because now if you hurt somebody's sister, there's going to be war, because it's like that's what was separated. And a lot of them girls liked the boys, of course, but we just couldn't. Oh, my goodness, Isabella, where are you today? That was the girl I liked. But her friend Ishmael, you know, he played with us, and there was a rule. I can't like your sister because it was a stupid rule, but it kept peace. It kept peace, Pastor Roll. What do we do for peace on earth? But it made us all, we never had arguments over somebody hurting somebody's sister. Because you hurt somebody's sister, now, you know, you're going to get it. We're going to all jump you. So we never had a fight over relationships. Pastor Roll, why?
Well, you know, it's interesting what you said. You know, you follow peace. Now, the scriptures say, with all men, for without holiness, no man will see the Lord. You know, and God has set some rules, you know, and you know what those rules are. You got the Ten Commandments. Those are rules, you know. And if you violate those rules, you're going to suffer, you know, going to suffer the consequences, you know. But I do want to say, because I know we're getting close to closing, we just want you to know, Dr. Walker, we appreciate all that you're doing, you know, to help hurting humanity. You know, and we want you to know we want to support you in your endeavors with the seven countries that we're operating in, because these kids need more than peanut butter, you know. But you're doing a great work, and we want to say we want to support you in this global endeavor that you got, and we love you, and we appreciate your vision and your purpose. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
All right. We certainly love and appreciate all of you all and everything that all of you all are doing out there for this mission. You know, we are just about out of. And I want to bring Ben here as we conclude here. Sir Ben, I mean, would you just surmise this in the next 60 seconds and tell us and remind the people that everything that we need, he has already provided. And so when we're asking the question, why hasn't God sent me the right companion? He has. It's just a matter of being receptive in your mind to receive it. Sir Ben.
Let me start by saying simply this. You don't tell your heart to beat. You don't tell your blood to flow. You don't tell yourself when to breathe, when not to breathe. You don't tell yourself when to blink, when not to blink. These are all things that are automatically designed. God has designed us in a perfecting way that everything correlates with one another. It knows what to do. When you take your right leg out, your left leg follows. When you move, your body moves with you. So these are all things that God has perfected us to do. It is the same thing in our walk with Christ. If we just simply allow him to automatically lead us where we want to go, which means that you have to surrender your own ways, your own thoughts, your own desires, and say, God, lead me. because I understand you have the perfect plan. And if I follow the perfect plan, I'll get a perfect outcome every time. We fail to understand that. If you follow the plan, you will get a perfect outcome every time. It's
Amen.
When we don't follow the plan that we get all these glitches and directional changes and ups and downs and highs and lows. Listen, it sounds so simple. You know why? It is simple. It's just simply saying, I give myself to you, and I'm going to allow you to give me your best. And his best trumps any kind of thought that we could ever have in our own minds, our own desires. He is greater than our thoughts can ever imagine because he helped us design our own thoughts. So in the last second, I want to say this. Operate in love and respond in love, and watch how love will conquer all of your indecisiveness, your end desires, and those things that you desire to have in your heart.
On that note, we are clearly out of time. Very well stated, Sir Ben. Very, very well and very eloquently stated. Listen, you know, we're out of time, you all. I just want to say, you know, Sir Ben said it in his closing. He said, surrender, surrender. So I'm going to challenge every one of you all out there tonight. Do something for someone else. Take it outside of yourself. And just like he said, Lev, watch how the love manifests in your life. Because God has already given you everything. Listen, we're completely out of time. They're threatening me over here. I got to get off the air. But I want to say it was a pleasure having all of you all on the air tonight. Oh, my goodness, God has blessed us beyond measure. Oh, my goodness, we mean more to him than the sparrows out there. Oh, you all, I just don't even want to end, but I got to get off. And I want to thank everybody for being on tonight. Listen, we'll be back here next Thursday for the Dr. Just Walk Show. If you choose to bypass next Thursday, we'll be back next Friday night. We got a show next week that you all just will, you got to hear it. And then if you choose to bypass next Thursday or Friday, we'll be back here next Saturday morning for our International Divine Intervention Day, where we ask God to intervene into the affairs of humanity. You don't want to miss that program either, 6:30, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until next Thursday or next Friday or until next Saturday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Dr. Wolf. Good night, Pastor Roll, and good night, everyone. And Benyon Block, that was a great closing.
Great closing. Amen. Sir Ben, great closing.
Yes.
God bless you all. It was a good show. Thank you.
Amen.
Call
Amen.
Me now, Sister Marjorie.
Brother Lorenzo, stay safe, brother. You too, brother.
Yeah, keep safe and keep well, Brother Lorenzo.
Amen.
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 Good night.
Take care, Sister Marjorie. Everyone.
Good night, Pastor O. God bless you.
Good night, dear.
Love you all.
Love y'all too.